Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. This session will be called The King's Highway. Father, I pray in Yeshua, Jesus, our Savior's name, that your Holy Spirit come, open our ears, anoint them, open our eyes to see. Father, open our hearts to understand, to know and understand, to repent, and to be healed, to be made whole by the blood of Yeshua. Okay. Thank you for joining me. This is called The King's Highway. This is taken off the Parsha Chukat, which is regulations. You may read those readings if you like, but this is something that God has been working in and breathing in my heart. And so it's about the King's Highway. We got this word in prayer. And there are scriptures around it. We'll examine some of them. But let me say that the highway is the Lord's ways. This is the context that I'm going to be giving this revelatory understanding that Jesus, Yeshua said, I am the way. First of all, he said, I am. That means he's God. The way. I am is the way to God. The truth. He is the truth. God is truth. And the life. He is the God of life. He's the ever-living, resurrected from the dead, God of the living. He's not the God of the dead, which some of this chuchat, the regulations speak of not handling the dead. But let's speak of him as the way, the King's way. I consider my sort of breath of fellowship in the body of Christ, there are a lot of different parts, is people of the way. And I'm not into Hebrew roots. I'm not into this or that or whatever. I'm looking for the way, the highway of holiness, the King's way. In Numbers 21:14, wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, the book of the wars of the Lord. Now, what do you think that book is? I suggest that perhaps we may not have that book any longer. Perhaps it's the war scrolls that were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. We don't know. It doesn't say the wars of the Jews or the Hebrews. It says the wars of the Lord. He's the Lord of war. What he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, and at the stream of the brooks that goes down to the dwelling of Ar and lies beyond upon the border of Moab. And from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spoke unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then, God is the God that takes us on the way and provides living water. Then Israel sang the song, spring up, O well, sing you unto it, the princes dig the well, the nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. That flow of the Spirit, that spring up, O well, that well of revelation is by the direction, the people dig it, they have to make some effort to allow it to flow, but they dig it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. All right, the lawgiver, there are parameters for the Holy Spirit to operate in. There are boundaries and borders of conduct and behavior that make you holy and acceptable and that make the way, the structure, for that well of righteousness and living waters to flow in and through people. And from the wilderness they went to Matanah, and from Matanah to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth in the valley that is in the country of Moab to the top of Pisgah, which looks towards Jeshimon. Continuing in verse 21, Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amori, with this message, let me pass through your land. We won't turn aside into fields or vineyards, and we won't drink any water from the wells. We will go along the king's highway. until we have left your territory. But Sichon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. Instead, Sichon mustered all his people and went out into the desert to fight Israel. On reaching Yahatz, he fought Israel. Israel defeated him, by the force of arms and took control of his land from the Arnon to the Yabbok River, but only as far as the people of Ammon, because the territory of the people of Ammon was well defeated. Israel took all these cities. Israel lived in all the cities of the Amori in Heshbon, all its surrounding towns. Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of Amori, who had fought against the former king of Moab and conquered all his lands up to Arnon. This is why the storytellers say, "Oh, come to Heshbon, let it be rebuilt. Let Sihon's cities be restored. For fire burst out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It consumed Ar of Moab, the lords of Arnon's high place. Woe to you, Moab. You are destroyed, people of Chemosh. He let his sons be fugitives, his daughters captives of Sihon, king of the Amori. We shot them down. Heshbon is destroyed all the way to Divon. We even laid waste to Naphash, which extends as far as Midava." Thus Israel lived in the land of the Amori. And Moses, men to reconnoiter Yatzer. They captured its towns and drove out the Amori who were there. Then they turned and went up along the road to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, marched out against them, he with all his people, to fight at Edrei. Adonai said to Moshe, "Don't be afraid of him, for I've handed him over to you with all his people and his land. You will treat him just as you did Sihon, king of the Amori, who lived at Heshbon." So they struck him down with his sons and all his people until there was no one left alive. And then they took control of his land. And then the people of Israel traveled on and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan opposite Jericho. All right, here is a description of the war that took place along the king's highway. And because Israel just asked to pass through, and the king of the Amori, Sihon, would not allow them and came out to fight against them. And they were coming peacefully, "We'll pay, we won't drink your water, we won't touch your fields." And he came out aggressively against them and provoked the battle. Now, in Numbers, it says that I have delivered them into your hands. In verse 34, Adonai said to Moshe, "Don't be afraid of him." This is Og of Bashan, "for I've handed him over to you with all his people and his land. You will treat him just as you did Sihon, king of the Amori, who lived at Heshbon. I have handed you over to him, his people, and all of his land in order to take the king's highway." We have to take the giants, the king of the giants in the land that are opposing and withstanding the will of God. And God will fight for us and deliver them into our hand. And down the road of history, later into Judges, let's look at an incident in Judges 11:12 about Jephthah. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, "What have you to do with me, that you are coming to fight against me and my land?" And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto to the messengers of Jephthah, "Because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt, from Arnon even to Jabbok and even unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably." Sounds like the two-state solution and the Jordanian-Palestinian issue today. And Japheth sent messengers to the king of the children of Ammon, and he said to him, "Thus says Japheth, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt," let's set the record straight here, okay? My comment. "But when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, 'Let me, I pray you, pass through thy land.' But the king of Edom would not hearken to. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent. And Israel abode in Kadesh. And then they went along through the wilderness, the king's highway," my comment, "and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of the Arnon, but did not come within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon, and Israel said to him, 'Let us pass, we pray you, through your land into our place.' But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered unto all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel." All right, Israel asked to pass through, and they said no, and started a war. "And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote him. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites." We won it in a fair fight, right? The Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. "And they possessed all the coasts of the Amorites from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And should you possess it? Will you not possess that which Chemosh your God gives you to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, then we will possess. And now are you anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? Did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns, and in Aroer and her towns, and in all the cities that belong by the coast of Arnon, 300 years. Why, therefore, did you not recover them within that time? For 300 years, that's not been an issue. Now all of a sudden it's an issue. Wherefore, I have not sinned against you, but you do wrong. You do me wrong to war against me, the Lord, the judge. Be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit that the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Japheth, which he sent him." So they picked a fight. They went out to pick a fight 300 years later over an old issue and said, "We want the land back." And this blood land feud has been continuing for centuries. Let's just take a little swift look at Obadiah. It says in Obadiah, "Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, 'We have heard a rumor,' the vision of Obadiah says, 'from the Lord, an ambassador sent among the heathen, arise you, let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I've made you small among the heathen, you are greatly despised.'" And then it says, let's jump down to verse 8. "Shall not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and the understanding out of the mount of Esau." I just want to connect these two. The Edomites come out of the mount of Esau. Jesus said, in Romans it says, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, according to foreordained destination. And thy mighty men, O Taman, shall be dismayed to the end, that everyone on the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Why? For your violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In that day you stood on the other side, in the day the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon you. Jerusalem, you were one of them." Let me submit to you that the spirit of the descendants of Esau were these ancient kings of the giants, Zihon and Og, Bashan, and influencing them against his brother, Esau's brother, Jacob. "But you should have not looked on the day your brother that he became a stranger, neither should you have rejoiced in the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither should you have spoken proudly in the day of their distress. You should have not entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yes, you should not have looked upon their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither should you have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape, neither should you have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of his distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As you have done, so it shall be done unto you. Your reward shall return upon your own head. Be careful, Jordan. Be careful, descendants of Esau. These calamities shall be turned upon your own head. Make no mistake, whatsoever man sows, he shall reap. For you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yes, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and shall be as though it had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness in the house of Jacob, shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken of it. What this is a familiar ring about the house of Jacob shall be fire and the house of Joseph a flame and the house of Esau for stubble. It's reiterated in the book of Zechariah.